Okay, what I wanted to do today is I was thinking I was going to do 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the gifts. And we're going to do it, but God gave me a different look at it, and we're going to look at it in the way He told me to look at it. It's amazing how so many times you think you're going to do it this way, and then God gives you a different direction. And, I was listening to some tapes, and it was on Pastor Chuck, and he said, when you worship idols, you become like your idols. You become like the God you worship. If it's an idol that can't speak, an idol that can't hear, you become deaf to God and you become blind to God. Because God moves among us, and we can see Him move among us if we have eyes to see. And we can also hear Him if we have ears to hear. And that's what we want. We want to hear God. We want to see God because He does move and He does speak. It's amazing. It's like one of the things I started with Andy a while back. Andy likes writing on that text or whatever that thing is on that phone. So I said, I'm going to write back to him. And then I started telling him I love him. Guess what he did?
What?
He responded with, yep. Hey, we didn't grow up telling each other we love each other. I grew up beating him up. But now, since God's changed my life, I love Him. And that's the thing, we got to start telling each other we love each other. Because we really do, but we got to. And as we practice it, it becomes a habit. And then it becomes us. Because God is in us and God is love. And that's what we want to manifest. Because really, what's the greatest thing we can give? So 1 Corinthians, let's go there, please. I was reading this and I was thinking, yeah, I'm going to talk about the gifts and that God can give us and use us, and we'll see what He does. 12:1 of 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, or no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirit. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretations of tongues. I remember years ago, when I was a young man, about maybe 3 years ago, I'm still young. I might look old, but I'm young. Don't let nobody tell you I'm not. But, you know, and back then, there was a lot of people saying that if you don't have the gift of spirit, if you can't speak in tongues, you're probably not saved. You know, and that went around for a while. You know, and but then we were walking around thinking, am I saved? I'm saved, you know. And then we realized not everybody gets that gift. Some people speak in tongues, some interpret, some have different gifts. But, you know, it takes faith to exercise that gift. If you got the gift of tongues and you're in a group like this and you want to exercise, you feel that the Lord's leading you to speak in tongues, it's got to be faith leading you to speak in tongues, because if you do, there must be somebody in the crowd that's going to interpret. You know, and so because a God is a God of order. But, you know, like he started the verse, it says, if you want to be ignorant, so be it. You know, God wants us not to be ignorant. He wants us to be wise on what he teaches us. And if God tells me to speak in tongues, it's going to take faith. You know, it's sometimes to be in a prayer meeting and to pray out loud, ooh-wee. I remember I used to go to prayer meetings and I would be thinking about what I'm going to pray before I prayed, because I wanted to sound good, you know. And then I would open my mouth and it would be completely different than what I thought. And then I learned with time that I'm not here to impress nobody, but to talk to God. And I learned that to feel comfortable around God, because he wants you to feel comfortable around him, because he tells us, ask. You have not because you don't ask. You know, so I go and ask God for everything. You know, all he can say is no. So I go and ask him, and you know, and that's what he encourages us to ask, because he wants you to ask. Just like if you're a mother, you want your kid to come and ask. You know, I want my son to come and ask me when he was younger for help or money, but he never would. And I go, dang. And so I would walk by him and drop my money in front of him to see what he would do. But no, you know, he didn't ask. And God wants us to ask. And you know, that's one thing. If you hear anything today, I want you to know that God wants you to ask him. Because God loves you. And you'll know as you ask him, and he answers your prayer, your relationship with him will grow. Why? Man, he answered my prayer. That's mind-blowing. And so that builds a relationship between us and him. And that's why he wants us to pray, so he can answer our prayer, and then our relationship gets stronger. And as your relationship gets stronger with God, like in 1 John it says, perfect love casts out all fear. Mature love. You know, in a relationship, when your relationship matures, the fear and all that goes out the window, because you're starting to trust, and God wants us to trust him. And so here in verse 9, he gives another faith by the same Spirit, another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. We need that here. We need those gifts exercised. And how do you know you have them? As you gather and you start exercising, God will put it in your heart to do something, and you might get a discernment about a person, and it might be a gift of knowledge. God will tell you something. Be careful that, you know, that person is a wolf. He's not here for no other reason. Just because he's carrying that big old chain outside of his shirt with a cross, woo! It don't mean nothing. What means is the way you act. You know, and so years ago also, a lot of our sisters fell away because guys that came into the church, you know, would take them away. At that time, we were about 25, 26, 27. All didn't want to burn in our lust. Remember that verse? And so I would have married and burned. Well, don't get married because you don't want to burn. Marry because you want to marry your friend. And so we start growing up and we start learning things. But one of the same spirit works all these things in verse 11, distributing to each one individually as he wills. See, God gives who he wills to give. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body being many are one body, so is also Christ. For by one spirit we all were baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in the fact the body is not the one member but many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an ear or an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, they would the body be? And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow a greater honor. But our unpresentable parts have a greater modesty. Hey, you know, it's my little pinky. When's the last time you thought of your little pinky? Why don't you move it right now so you can say, have it? Really, when do you think about your little pinky? But I tell you, he's got a big mouth when you hit it against that corner of the table, man. You know, and that pinky's important, but you don't realize until you hit it. You know, and so many parts that we have that we don't take, you know, we forget about them. And it's the same thing with the body, like the ushers, the greeters, the deacons. All those brothers are important, you know, because they're part of the body that keeps us functioning. And that's why we're here. You know, this being in here, up here ain't the important part. You know, and we think that so-called, you know, no. The important parts are the people like back there, that angel tree, you know, our sister running that thing, you know, that ministry. There's all kinds of ministries. I remember years ago when Horizon was starting, it was growing so fast that there was no time to train really any of the people. So a guy would come in, ex-druggy, ex-prostitute, ex-doper, ex-hippie, whatever. They'd come in and they'd be all tore up. 2 weeks later, they'd be ushers. And that's what we had to do because the church was growing so fast. And people were doing all kinds of stuff to serve the Lord because they got to know the love of Jesus. I remember when I got saved, this brother that would disciple me up in Oxnard, he wanted me to go and invite people to the church with him on Saturday. So I don't know what to say. What do I say? So I go knock. Good morning. Hi. You know, I was 25 years old, man. And, you know, like, I was just a fresh burrito, man. And I come out there and I go, hey, I want to invite you to our church service. What can you do? And you know, I tell them, what can you tell me about your religion? That Jesus loves you and he loves me. And that I'm born again Christian. That's all I knew. Born again. What do you mean born again? God changed me from the inside out. I'm not the same. And that's all I knew. And that's all I had and I was doing. And then later on, I was an usher in the parking lot at Horizon over there in Claremont. Parking cars. I think you were one, Oscar, if I remember right. And we're out there, you know, acting like cops, you know. You know? It was exciting. It was fun, you know, parking the cars, you know, come on, come on, all that stuff. And it was fun. But we parked the cars like crazy out there. But we did whatever we wanted for the Lord because we loved him because he loved us. And that's what we got to do. We got to get up and serve the Lord because that's our defense. As we serve him, we grow in our relationship with him. You know, I start thinking, well, a lot of times people get discouraged. No, I don't like because people are too prejudiced, too, that word, hypocritical. They judge you. They da, 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 da. No, the one that's judging is you. And you have to stop. And we have to do what it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, bringing the thought that exalts itself above God into the submission of Christ Jesus. Bring that thought down and say, no, you're going to listen to me. You're going to do what God tells me. I'm not going to do what I'm thinking. You know, and that's what we have to do is remind ourselves what the Bible says and bring those thoughts. You know, like here you are saying, imagine if God will pray our thoughts right now. Oh, look at, I don't believe he's wearing that shirt. Oh, look at that, you know. If he could only play our thoughts. And we need to exercise that verse where God tells us, when a thought exalts itself above God, because we're supposed to love each other, not be critical. And when a thought, because we're human, we sometimes think negative. Oh, there he is wearing that Charger shirt again. Dang. They're out of town, dude. Get out. You know? But you know, let's say I'm thinking that. Well, I have to bring that thought, man, and change it. And with God's power, I can bring that thought and say, that's neat that my brother's wearing that shirt. Bless him, Lord. I can change it from a negative into what is really true, that I love him and I pray for the best for him. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 5. Any thought in your mind that exalts himself above God, or you're by yourself, God left you. No, God promised never to leave me nor forsake me. So I bring that lie because a lot of lies come into the little peanut head and I bring it into submission to Christ Jesus. You know? Because, man, I tell you, and you know, when I started getting involved, I became an usher. I wouldn't become an usher up here. I'd sit in the back. I didn't want to be in front of the people. I started working in the cafeteria at Horizon. Why? Because I was, I don't know what it was. I was too shy. I am kind of shy. but you know, I had to, with God's help, he started giving me. And then I went to the School of Evangelism. And after that, they asked who wanted to be an intern. And I've always wanted to be a spokesman for God, just like a cheerleader. I'm a cheerleader for Jesus, you know? And I like encouraging people. I love people. And so I said, give me a J. All right, quit playing around. But, you know, and so I went to see Larry, Larry P. I can't pronounce his last name. Yeah, you go. And Larry was in charge of the School of E. And so I went up there and told him, went to his office, and I told him, hey, Larry, I've been thinking of applying to be an intern. And he started laughing, gets on the phone. Hey, Mickey, I got you an intern now. See you later. Bam. Hey, you're in. I'm still shocked. Really? And so I became an intern and I learned some of the stuff. It's amazing how the Spirit moved there. And some of the interns, it was crazy. But we learned. We're one time in the library up in the front and praying. The interns would get together before work and we would pray and study a little bit. We're in there, and I don't know if you know Wally Kurtz. He came in here. He's the pastor of some church in Colorado now. He comes into the library, and he goes, hey, guys, he was a youth pastor then. He said, I quit my job. I'm going to get on staff. And so I looked at him, and I go, can you speak in tongues? And you should have seen his face. It dropped. And when it dropped, I got on that car real quick. And I go, hey, well, Mickey requires that everybody that comes on staff speak in tongues. He goes, man, I quit all my jobs. And then we just popped a little bit, let him go through the emotional, the ride, and then we all started laughing. Sorry. But, you know, that's some of the things that we learned. And we loved each other. And I love that brother. He's a neat brother. And verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and the gift of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gift. And yet I show you a more excellent way. So here Paul is telling us there's all kinds of gifts that God can use. And you can be used for anything. You can get involved in whatever way you feel that you can help by volunteering. Because, you know, as you volunteer, you become active for the ministry of God. And just like that book, Spiritual Warfare, what's the name of that stadium down there, Qualcomm? Picture, you know how it's in a valley? Picture that Qualcomm being attacked, bombed or whatever. But it's not doing anything offensive to protect itself. It just gets bombed, and then it repairs the damage, and I'm doing okay, and then it gets bombed again, and then we do again. And some people live like that in the Christian life instead of being offensive. We become offensive by ushering, by Sunday school, by anything that we can do for the Lord. Like Oscar and I, we're doing the parking lot. And doing the kitchen, doing anything that we could do for the Lord. I did it because I didn't want to be in the front, in public, so I did stuff that was in the background. But I wanted to serve God. Why? Because He loved me. And that's the whole purpose. And if you get into ministry and you start drying up and you start becoming a grouch, hurry up, Sunday school teacher. you know, in your garage, get out of it. Because God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And, you know, God gives you joy to serve him. And so when you start becoming a grouch, it's because you're not reading, not spending time with him. And we need to spend time with him. Because sooner or later, we will run out of gas. You know, and there's nothing good as, hey, what time is this over? 2? 2:30? Okay, I'll get you early. I'll get you out early at 2. But here, Paul starts with the gifts of, let me see. I can't even read the writing, man. I must have been coffeeed up last night. You know, administrations, the different kinds of ministries, operations, you know, different kinds. There's all kinds of stuff that we can do. We can help Loopy. We can call her and say, what can we do here for you? What is it that I can do for you, Lord? You know, and that's what you want to do, is you want to do something for the Lord because you love him. And as you do it, your relationship with him grows. And the neat part about serving the Lord is that you meet other people that are serving him. And they're a blessing, man, a lot of times. Other people, you know, I bump into Andy, and, you know, he's a blessing to me. Tony, that guy back there in sound, Dan, John, all these guys, man, they're a blessing. And, you know, you don't meet those people until you start serving. Matt, you know, he's a blessing, you know, the deacons. But you don't get to know them until you come and volunteer and you start meeting these people and you start growing in your relationship and you start growing in love. You know, like I told Andy, I told John and everybody, I love you, man. You know, here's some ex-cholos. I love you. Como que you love me? I do, man. I love you in the Lord. Let me throw the Lord name in there. You know, I'm not going to let homosexual activity hinder me from telling my brother I love him. You know, years ago, I remember Pastor Mike saying that, you know, in a couple years down the road, you guys are going to see people kissing at McDonald's. And we thought, yeah, okay. That was years ago, but it came to pass. And I started realizing, just like the bathroom now, there's a third bathroom for the monster that comes out of there, you know? The other kind or whatever it's called. But, you know, the thing is, we have to, if we got grandkids or kids, we have to teach them the Word of God so God can teach them. Not me, hey, they're doing wrong. God tells us that he created man in his image. And so we start teaching them the Word of God, and God will teach them what is true. Because later on, our grandchildren, which are, let's say, 2, 3, or our kids, 10 years from now, they're going to see it normal to have that third bathroom. But, you know, we see it and we're kind of like fighting it now. 10 years from now, it'll be normal. And we think, well, that won't, you know. And I just go, bam. That's how fast time goes by. Just like I got older and I see things that have changed. You know, it goes fast. He's starting to run out of money now. But, you know, we start thinking of those things, you know. We ain't got time to waste, people. The Lord is getting ready to come back. And we need to get involved. Involved, whatever. Whatever you can do. You can pray in the closet, back there in the prayer room. Come in early on Sunday mornings and pray. There's a lot of different things you can do. You have any ideas? Talk to the ladies that minister here, or Pastor Tony, Pastor Lou. You know, and just come up with your ideas and see. Maybe feeding the homeless. You know, you can talk to Pastor Lou or Pastor Stevie about that and see what comes out of it. Because, you know, at first I was getting ticked off with the homeless because they're asking for too much. But God put love in my heart for them. Because people don't know. God can do miracles. I see a bunch of miracles in front of me. And don't forget where you were when he came into your life. You know? Sheesh, man. I don't even want to tell you. I was lost, but now I'm found. So right there in chapter 1, verse, 9, to another, he says, you know, there's a bunch of gifts, a manifestation of the Spirit, and verse 7, to each one for the profit of all. It's for all of us. If you have a gift, it's for our good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge. And I thought about word of wisdom. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. And so, God might put it in your heart to tell the sister, hey, God wants you to know that he's going to bless you and he loves you. He's going to work this out. But that's God putting it in your heart. And as you start exercising it, you become more in tune exactly to what God's telling you. But you got to start practicing it. And how are you going to know if, you know, I remember when I went to this church when I got saved, they wanted me to speak in tongues right then and there so that the elders got on me and said, Honda, 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 Honda. And I couldn't speak in tongues until I went home. A couple of days later, I learned how to speak in tongues, but that's between me and God. You know, I could speak in tongues. You know, like some places start speaking in tongues and the brothers get all excited and they start clapping and da 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 da. You know, all that stuff. Well, the Bible tells us not to do that. But like it says in verse 1, I don't want you to be ignorant. But if you want to be ignorant, you can go, so be it. You know? And so here in verse 9, it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. You know, healing takes faith. You know? You got to believe that he is. What does it say? Let's go to Hebrews real quick. Keep your finger here, but we'll come back. Hebrews chapter 11, where's Hebrews at? Is that in the Old Testament? See, I love the family. They help you, man. They don't tell you. You don't know? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, you're not going to come to God if you don't believe he's God. And we got to get to know God, because just because you say Jesus, there's a lot of Jesus out there. People are saying Jesus this, Jesus that. What Jesus? And you get to know him and you get to hear what Jesus they're talking about. And a lot of people have stayed away from the word of God. And they said, if God was love, then how come he allows this? Or why would he say no against two men that love each other? We need to get back to the word of God so he can tell us who he is. And why he does what he does. You know, because some people have not read and they don't know what Jesus teaches. And as we learn his word and we continue in his word, that's just going to prove to us we are his disciples. Because we're continuing in his word. You know, I got a love for God, not because I'm special, but because he loves me. And he doesn't love me no more than he loves you. And if we, you know, whatever excuse we might have for not reading, that's between us and God. I can't read that well. Back then, all we had was the King James. And I would walk around with a dictionary. I couldn't read anyway, you know, but I need a dictionary to pronounce some of the words. Duh, you know. But, you know, different words. Why? Because I wanted to know what the word says. And I just started learning. And I started hungering more. And God started blessing more. Because I diligently seeked him. Not because I'm special or anybody's different, but I just had I fell in love with that love, man. Remember that love? He loved a person like you. Think about it. You. I'm not talking about nobody else. We're talking about you. God loved you, and he knew what kind of person you were. And he still loved you. And then sometimes you think, I'm not worthy. He loved you when you weren't worthy. Romans 5:8 says he commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. Oh, man. Because there's times that I don't feel worthy. And then God reminds me, I know you're not worthy. It's me that loves you. And I go, thank you, Lord. So here it says in verse 9, faith by the same Spirit to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. So faith and healing kind of come together. And I want to take you to, let's see, where is it? Mark 5:22. Let's go to Mark. Mark 5:24, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 24. Or 25. One of my favorite verses. You know this woman? She heard about Jesus. She had an issue of blood for 12 years, and the doctors couldn't heal her. And she said, if I just touch his hem, I'd be healed. I don't know what she heard about Jesus, but she had the faith to believe that if I just touch his hem, he can heal me. You know, and think about that. Faith. I believe, was there action behind it? Look at what it says in verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I can be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she left her body, and she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said, hey, there's a multitude of people touching you. And you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman was fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Think about that. God can still do that today. You know, you can still ask God, heal me, Lord. Please, if that's what you want me to do. You know, so here we are thinking about stuff and we're struggling. And a lot of us, you know, there's some people that don't believe that healing is for today. If I'm sick, I'm just going to go to my doctor. My doctor will take care of me. No, before I go to my doctor, I pray, give this man wisdom, Lord. Help him to take care of my need, because I believe that you're in charge. And so the doctor takes care of me, and God gives him wisdom to take care of my need and gives me medicine that God helps to work with my body, to heal my body, and to allow me to continue. Think about it. You know, as you get older, why do you want to be around here? You know, I'd rather be in heaven, but God has purpose. And that's what we want to do, his purpose. Because that's a blessing to do his purpose. Just like this woman, she came and touched him. And Jesus, I wonder what she heard about him. You know, at her house or village, wherever she came from. You know, that says Jesus can heal people. You know, because Jesus, everywhere he went, he was healing everybody that he came in contact with. In casting out demons and everything. That was his ministry. And it's amazing. And that guy that came that couldn't walk and his friends brought him in a bed, you know, tore the roof up and they put him right there in front of Jesus. And first thing Jesus healed him was forgiveness of his sins. But you can't see that a person's forgiven of their sins. Next thing you know, he says, get up and walk and take your bed. Imagine being that guy and he said, get up and walk. And I go, what? Get up and walk and take your bed. Man, do you think he walked out when he got outside the door or he ran home with his four friends? Man, nobody at home would have to clean him no more. He could throw the trash. He could do stuff, you know. He could be an assistant instead of a burden. Man, what a blessing. So many things that God can do if we allow him to work through us. You can be a blessing to others. And that's why I think Paul shows us the different kinds of gifts that we can do. Well, I can't. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Who said you can't? Man, I tell you, I struggled a whole bunch in the beginning when I first started, but that didn't stop me. I kept on doing it. I kept on little by little, and God built me up. Just like, what's that guy that beat up Goliath? David? Thank you. David, imagine if God wouldn't have delivered that bear or that lion to David before this happened. See, God built him up, that faith. He delivered that lion that had the lamb, and he tore that lion in half. He delivered that bear to David, and he tore him up too. And then here comes this uncircumcised Philistine saying, you know, all this stuff against God's people. And David said, hey, come on, let's do it, man. He had the faith because God delivered a lion and a deer, a bear before. Now he had the faith to believe that he'll deliver this. Because why? God has brought me up to this level of my relationship with him that there's nothing too hard for God. And that comes with exercising your faith. As you practice that faith and you start growing, and you start seeing that God can do awesome things through you. You don't have to be nobody special. The only thing you have to be is a born-again Christian. That's special. Don't forget that. You're born again. If you're born again, don't let it go like, hey, it's something special that God has done in your life. And we need that done again in our country. We need a lot of these homeless, the people on oxycodone and all these opiates to come to know the Lord. They can't change on their own. And that's why there was a revival back there, and God changed me, you back then. That's the only way there could be change. Well, I'd be the same guy. I don't love you, man. What's the matter with you? This guy is really easy to love, man. He's a teddy bear. You got to see his little texts. I go, man, this guy's an ex-cholo, and he's texting me like this. No, you weren't a cholo. But, you know, I want to share something that I learned years ago. I don't know if I should, but I will. You guys remember about the gummer trees? Here we go again. That gummer trees don't leave my conversation. Remember that gummer trees? The box? Do you guys know what kind of cheese it was? Was it Swift or what? American? No, this, my neighbor told me it was different because we went to get the collect, you know, they had certain dates that you got to go and collect your cheese. So we went to collect our cheese, and he was telling me, hey, do you know what kind of cheese this is? And I go, no, do you? He goes, yeah. Yeah, there he goes. He said, last month we came, collected the cheese, and my friend that was with me, there was a guy in front of us, he ran up there and got his cheese and took off. And so I had to run because I wasn't going to tell on him. So I ran with him, and the guy chased us all the way up to Poplar. And he started saying, you know what? I asked him, what kind of cheese is this? He goes, nacho cheese. And I go, what? He goes, didn't you hear the guy say nacho cheese? And that's, I think, that's where they got the nacho cheese, as, you know. You know, so a lot of times we learn stuff from neighbors that don't know what they're talking about. So here, when you get a chance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about different gifts. And then in verse 31 of the verse, it says, But I earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Because that's what I wanted, the best gift. You know, for some of you older young hippies, we always look for love and peace. That's a bunch of baloney. You go to the love feast and they'd be fighting for the baby dolls or the pot or whatever. Never found love until I walked into that church. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. See, without love, we're nothing. Just like Saul, he went out and defeated that town, but didn't do exactly what God told him to do. And God said, do I want sacrifice or obedience? You know, it's like a guy telling his wife, I bring you the paycheck every Friday. I give you this, I give you that. So I have a career, you know, I got a girlfriend on the side, so what? That guy doesn't know what love is. I don't want your money. I don't want this. I want your love. And that's what God wants from us. He wants our obedience. He wants us to listen to him. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't serve him. We need the Spirit. It says in chapter 1 of Acts that the Spirit came upon the disciples as they waited in Jerusalem for the Spirit, for the promise, and then they went out throughout the whole region and were witnesses for God. See, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to serve him, and we do it with joy and with love. Why? Because we have God on our side, and God is love. It's hard to hate people and have God in you. Oh, I hate you, man. Praise the Lord. That's hard to do. It really is. And God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to be love. Like these four women up here, man, I love them. I'm getting to know them more, and I'm starting to love them more. Especially Miriam right there. And Cuca. Cuca, no? You know, and you know, it's amazing. You know, we start getting to know each other and we start loving each other. I even love Marilyn. She drives me nuts. Yeah, she does. There's a lot of neat brothers and sisters here, and we got to learn to start exercising, telling each other, I love you. It feels weird at the first, I love you. But as you do it more, you start loving the person. It's amazing. And really, I do love you. Why? Because God loves you. And if God loves you, he tells us if we are children, we should love each other. You know, and that's what we want to do, is learn how to love each other. So I encourage you, if you need the Holy Spirit, come up and Pastor Tony can pray for you. He's eager to come up here and pray for you. Because we need the help of the Holy Spirit to even want to do something. Because without the Spirit, we can do nothing. And so I want to encourage you. So let's stand up and pray, please.